Hello and welcome to the Nature Summit. I am your host, Lori Schwanbeck, and today's theme is Ancient Roots, Contemporary Wisdom. I am very delighted and we are very fortunate to have the inspirational and wise Pat McCabe with us today.
Thank you. So I'll say I'm from Diné Nation, and so I'll greet you in our traditional way to say She'e Iyat Tachi Inishni Aro Ashi Ibashishchi. I'm telling you about my clans. We get our clans from our mothers, so I'm invoking that, those lineages, and asking them to be here also. And as you said, I was adopted into the Lakota spiritual way of life, and so I was given the name Wiyakpa Najimi, womaning, standing, shining. Yeah, so let's go ahead and I say I couldn't do all this Zooming that we're doing for Zoom and more Zoom if I didn't believe that we could really be contributing and co-creating a way of being human that causes all life to thrive. And so I feel like it's really critical for me, and hopefully for us, to dedicate every meeting to this purpose. So I'm just asking. So that's where my prayer is coming from. And I'll say, just calling upon all of my spirit helpers and all of yours, Lori, and this Mother Earth, calling upon the sacred grandmothers and the sacred grandfathers, and calling upon our holy star in this long, long, long conversation with my Mother Earth, and just grateful to be your child, grateful to stand in that passionate conversation that you have that brings life forth in such abundance and such creativity and such evolution. So I just ask for all of the spirit helpers to be present in this moment, in this conversation, but in also all of the conversations that are going to take place for this Nature Summit. We, the five-fingered ones, we come before you in humility and ask for your instruction. And I ask that you use this time to speak wisdom, speak medicine, speak healing, speak help, speak inspiration, speak love to all of our relations here. And I ask that all the spirit helpers see that we are willing, that we are coming together, that we are inquiring, that we are pooling our knowledge on behalf of our life and behalf of all life. And I call upon all my relatives of the sacred hoop, all the other children of Mother Earth, to see that we are gathering, and to take heart, and I reach out for your input also here to be a voice for you, if you have something you want to say during this time. So for all my relations.
Thank you. I felt such a shift in myself in that moment. It's the words humility and allowing the mother and the earth to speak through us. I love that you start with a prayer, an invocation. I also love how you begin by introducing yourself, not just your name and credentials, but speak the clan and the lineage that you come from. Why is it important? Why is it important to acknowledge all of the life that has shaped us and that is here with us now?
Well, part of my translation between modern world paradigm and perhaps we could say indigenous worldview is this understanding that I am not a soul entity. It's impossible for me to be a soul entity, to be an individual. And so it really is true. I am because we are. Mm-hmm. And I am because of my ancestors. I love that feeling and that sense that I'm living my grandmother's prayers. My grandmother prayed for me. My great-grandmother prayed for me. My great-great-grandmother prayed for me and for us and for this time. They didn't know what was coming, but they knew that they wanted to send their very best and to invoke all of the spiritual help of life, light, and love to be present here with us. And so I'm moving in that, I'm walking in that. And then everything I'm doing, saying, being, is prayers for my great-grandchildren. Mm. I don't know what their world is going to be like, but I want to send my very best to them. So, you know, when we talk about, maybe people have heard about this concept of thinking in terms of seven generations. Yes. So oftentimes it's portrayed as me being, you know, generation number one and looking ahead six more generations. And that is absolutely relevant. I mean, I think that's wise, but I also have heard elders talk about it as though I'm the center generation. So three behind me, and then the three ahead of me. And so I always use this image. So I'm always traveling like this with these generations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's important for me to, well, it's not just important. It makes sense for me to really understand that that's how I'm moving. So I don't have to only rely on my own resources, and I'm also accountable for the world and the way that I leave for the future generations by how I'm thinking and speaking and moving. Yeah.
Something in what you're saying is just touching me so deeply. And there's like this wondering I have of what it would be like if we all really lived with that knowing, that humility, that we are part of what has come before and we are part of shaping what will come after, and that interbeing. Like, what would our world be like if we really, really lived with that knowing?
Well, one thing that I can say about it that I've thought about, especially in terms of that idea about seven generations ahead of me, how is what I'm doing now, how is that going to play out in seven generations? So even if we think about it, like really literally, if I'm standing at the center of a circle, or even a line, a vector, let's say, of these seven generations heading out from me, you know, if I make a small movement this way, it doesn't necessarily show up so much in that first generation or the second generation, but by the time we get to four or five, you know, that's from here to here is a big movement. It expands as we travel through time, right? And so that's a different way of moving. It's not about busting the big moves. So it's a really different mentality, right? Like you have to, like you want to really be careful about how much movement and how much do you really know about that movement that you're thinking about making. So I think about that a lot because we are in the time of busting the big moves, and I don't think we have a clue where it's going to be even in two generations, really. It's too often, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's certainly the state of the world right now with the ecological crises, species loss, environmental destruction it's a big situation that we're in that's trying to or creating the big moves. And yet it was a series of an infinite number of little steps that got us here. With the state of the world right now, what are the little moves that you feel inspired to make that will support that vision of the future?
I think a lot of my movement and a lot of the movements that I talk about at this time are in internal movements more than external. I had a niece and she said, well, gosh, if we're like really heading in the wrong direction, it seems like it would help a lot if we would either slow down or ideally stop.
Hello, COVID.
Just keep flying down the freeway in the wrong direction, you know? Right. It's like, yeah, we should pull over. So I think about that too. And but I think for me, and so internally, it's interesting because I feel a little better about busting some big moves internally. because I really do feel like, you know, as I've been speaking lately, I've been naming that I feel like I have this enormous privilege of living in two very different ways of understanding of how to be human on Earth. Mm. And that's as an Indigenous person, maybe every Indigenous person is in that position. And there's been a lot of pain and suffering around that for me, but now I really see the gift in it. And that is to be able to, like I say, to describe that there are different ways of being human around here. And so I feel like the movement that I'm proposing over and over and over again is, what if, you know, so my spirit helpers say, you know, you guys can have it any way you want it. That's the nature of this construct. It's a free will construct. You guys can have it any way you want it. And right now you're saying you want it like this. And so for me, that really does describe that paradigm as a choice. And then I feel like when I bring to these conversations different ways of being from Indigenous perspective, different ideas, even that concept about living within these generations, then we can, you know, I'm bringing proof. This isn't hypothetical. I'm bringing proof. These are human beings that look at how they're thinking. Look at how they're moving. It's getting harder and harder for us to live those principles ourselves for many reasons. But those ways are still in our consciousness and still here. And so that to me is trying to make a proposal to modern world or to all the people who are saying, wow, this just doesn't seem like it's going where we want it to go. And I guess I sort of hope to alleviate the sense of it's inevitable. It's like, no, it has always been a choice. It has always been a choice. There's this meme out right now. And it's funny because I've been talking about this for a while. And then I saw this and it said, it didn't quite say it this way, but it's saying like, we can have it any way we want it. And we choose credit scores and white supremacy. I mean, that really is how ludicrous it is to me. And so what else can we choose? So those kind of movements are internal perception movements. And those are actually really big to break out of that box. They're pretty huge. So again, I guess I'll say that when it comes to being out here, I'm wondering about busting big moves. But when it's coming on the interior, I think we have to bust some really big moves.
Right, shifting that paradigm, as you're saying, starts with that internal, almost like a mindset shift of employing one or generating a mindset that has more of a sense of agency, so that we can actually lean in and take the actions instead of feeling like without choice, as you're saying. So what is the sacred earth paradigm? When you talked about paradigm shifting and choice, what is the paradigm that you call the sacred earth paradigm that might be inspired by this internal shift?
Well, to be really honest, I don't think sacred earth paradigm is a choice. I think that's a reality. So here I am, I guess, with my adamant stance on what reality is too. But I just feel like, I mean, all we have to do is look around and see that, you know, every single thing that we have, that we'll ever have, even from my little device here, what other source is there? There is Earth. And so this is our source for life. I say she gives us everything we need to take care of everyone we love. So I want to put it in those terms also. It's not just about, achievements or amassing wealth or whatever. It comes literally down to how are you going to take care of the ones you love? Well, you're going to do that through what the earth gives to you. There's no other way for it to go. So I feel that we have been lured or deceived, or there's illusion and delusion moving that has led us away from that understanding that, you know, she's not, so I guess I even consider that word nature, that's a way of conceptualizing her that separates us from her. So we're either in nature or we're indoors in a city, or we're either not in nature or we are in nature, meaning we're walking on trails, you know. But it's like, no, even when we're in our skyscraper, we are still in Earth, on Earth, of Earth. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the difficulty right now, I think, there's these huge population centers that are surrounding themselves with things that only come out of the human mind. I mean, think about that. And so it can lead to this delusion and illusion that somehow what we can manufacture air. You know, I would imagine our children actually believe that somebody is making water somewhere, and that's why you go buy it at the store. Mm. So we're deluded. We're deeply deluded. And so now I think we are coming to this place of inevitability, of understanding that we need to understand this construct again, collectively. And we do have different peoples who have been holding on to certain understandings or principles about what this construct is, what it's about. Indigenous peoples have been preserving that understanding. And I will say I've met many others who've been working on that, who might not call themselves indigenous necessarily, but have been really deeply immersed in these conversations with Earth as well. And so we are called on to understand what are her laws, because we're not going to bend her laws to us. This is the other delusion that we're suffering from, I feel like. We really believe we can bend her will to ours. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it would behoove us to consider, well, then what are her laws? Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest principles that is hard for us in modern world paradigm, because we're really trained to think individualistically, that my family is separate from yours, my wealth is separate from yours, my achievements are separate from yours, distinguished from yours. One thing that we really need to understand is how deeply we are an interbeing. So this symbol, you know, I often keep this here because we always have to talk about this. This is talking about that interconnectedness. So I say every single life form gets to have a seat on this sacred hoop of life. Mm. And every member has to be able to uphold their part of this hoop, or the integrity of the hoop, meaning this life, our ability to have life, begins to fail. So we are so, so deeply interconnected. It's not just a loving thought or idea, it's a reality. It's a very deep reality. And so we can't pull the rug out ecologically, water, resources, everything out from one part of the world and bring it all over to this part and expect that the integrity of the hoop is going to be able to thrive. So we're experiencing that right now. So I feel like we're in for a time of some pretty extreme humbling. And I feel like if we stop before we come to that place, if we can stop ourselves, that would be very, very wise.
Yeah, yeah, it's that the sacred earth paradigm is not a choice, it's a fact, but where the choice comes in is how much we live into that and make that choice to recognize the impact of our actions on that hoop and